Welcome to Golf and the Good Life, your guide to golf travel across the pond. I'm DJ Jones, he's Connor Evers, and today we are visiting a somewhat overlooked destination that definitely deserves more attention from golf travelers. But before we get there, Connor, our first groups for the year have returned from their long-awaited expeditions. What's the good word up at HMB HQ?
Deej, appreciate the introduction. Can't believe it. Groups not only are traveling, but they're coming back already, which is wild to think. But everyone is enjoying their time across the pond here in kind of mid-spring. And weather has been pretty good, mid-50s, which has been nice. And groups are enjoying it. But shout out to my groups that are over in return from Allegheny Country Club, Salt Lake City Country Club, as well as Medina Country Club as well. So groups have enjoyed themselves overseas, but all good here at HQ, DJ. How about yourself?
Yeah, all is good here in Florida. We have crossed over that time of year where it goes from being a nice, pleasant spring to an unbearable summer for the next several months. But, you know, it means golf all year round. So I guess I can't complain too much about it. But before we kind of dive into today's episode, one quick bit of news to share out of St. Andrews. They've posted recently that groups traveling and playing the Old Course this year with a guaranteed tee time. So that's going to be anyone who is playing either on a guaranteed time through an authorized provider like Havisham and Baker, or if you manage to hit a tee time with the direct application process. All of those tee times are now going to be covered by their official photography service. They're calling it their featured group service, if you will. And this is something that has been around for authorized provider times for the last few seasons, but it's what's new this year is that they've rolled it out to include those direct application times. So basically what it means is if you're on one of those tee times, you're going to see a photographer on the first, 17th, and 18th holes. And then when your round is over, you're going to have the option to view your gallery and purchase some of those photos. Big time shout out to Kevin Kirk and the team at Recounter, whose work is absolutely incredible. And when you see these photos, you're really just going to kind of say, wow, it's an awesome addition service-wise from the Old Course. Captures those memories in just so much better form than you can with an iPhone, you know, those candid moments and so forth. So if you're traveling on one of those times, be on the lookout. You will get a message when your round is over, you know, to invite you to go take a look at those photos. But shifting back to today's episode, we are headed to the Channel Coast of England. And, you know, Connor, this has long been a somewhat overlooked destination for golf. And it's kind of puzzling as to why, because it's got a lot of great stuff going for it. I mean, you're talking three courses that have hosted the Open, one that is on the rotor right now with Royal St. George's. The other two are Prince's and Royal Cinque-Ports. And these three courses, they occupy basically one continuous stretch of links land. And, you know, you're talking 10, 15 minutes apart at most from all of them. And, you know, Walter Hagen famously played a practice round back in the day where he played all 54 holes in essentially one long walk. That's how close these places are. And then you're right up against London, so easy access flight-wise. There's some great things nearby to see. Connor, the place deserves more attention from golfers, especially from our side of the pond. You were just there within here the last few months, I believe it was. What were your impressions from the Channel Coast?
Yeah, Deej, appreciate it. And it was a great little trip. As I said in the last kind of Discovery podcast, I was only there for a few days. So it was a little bit of a whirlwind of a trip, if you will. But it was good. Rented a car and was about a 2 or so hour drive, depending on traffic, out of London from the Heathrow Airport down into that area. And I really enjoyed it. You know, there's a lot of sleepy kind of English towns, which is really great and unique. And the golf, like I said, is spectacular. And as you said, DJ, all the courses are really close. And I think it's the 13th or 14th hole at Royal St. George's. You can actually see, and it goes right up against the practice facility of Prince's. So it's everything, as DJ said, is right there. So it's easy access and minimal drive times comparatively to some other places. But, you know, like you said, it's kind of overlooked and it shouldn't be, just especially with you know, the courses. And well, St. George's hosted the Open recently in 2021. So when Colin Morikawa won it there, but it's just a great area. And I think a lot of groups should go there. And I probably wouldn't say it's a, you know, a first time trip. A lot of our groups will want to go to Southwest Ireland or what have you, St. Andrews specifically. But, you know, it's one of those places you definitely want to have on your list of kind of to do's and to plays in the future.
You're right. I mean, it's crazy that, you know, so many of these destinations that are so good, for most, it's a third, fourth, fifth trip kind of thing, because there's so many regions that you've got to check off. And, you know, certain ones are, of course, going to have priority. And so it's understandable that, you know, this one might be a, you know, a third or fourth stop sort of thing. But plenty of great reasons to head this way. As we often do in these things, I'm going to cover the history bit. So class is in session. I will keep it as brief as possible. But basically, you know, you start with Royal St. George's. It's commonly known as Sandwich. If you hear that tossed around here in the episode or elsewhere, they're talking about Royal St. George's. And the club goes back to 1887. It was the first club outside of Scotland to host the Open. As Connor just said, just recently hosted back in 2021, but it's held it 15 times, you know, over the years. So long and rich history with the Open. One of the things it's perhaps known for as well is that Ian Fleming, the author, was a long-term member of the club, and he was actually voted club captain the year that he passed away, I believe it was. But he's the author for James Bond. And if you've ever seen Goldfinger or even read the books, the golf scene that takes place there was modeled after Royal St. George's. Of course, it was filmed elsewhere. It was filmed at Stoke Park, I believe. But Fleming changed the name to Royal St. Mark's to kind of keep publicity and keep his club a secret, I guess, as long as possible. But next door, like you said, we've got Prince's. Goes back to 1906. They hosted the Open in 1932. This was the place that Gene Sarazen introduced what we now know is the sand wedge to the game. There's a bunker on the ninth hole of the Himalayas course that's named after him that he actually played from during the Open Championship. But they actually have 27 holes there. After the war, they had to do some redesign to repair some damage, and they expanded it over the years to include a third nine. McKenzie and Ebert here in recent years has done quite a bit of design work and introduced some new holes at Prince's that are absolutely great. And the old clubhouse is actually now a lodge with accommodations that you can stay at while you're in the area. It's a pretty common choice for some of our members as well. And then moving on down the coast, you've got Royal Cinque Ports, also commonly known as Deal. So we've got two courses that, you know, kind of shed their name depending on how well you know them. But dates to 1892, hosted the Open twice, 1909 and 1920. And kind of the interesting story when it comes to Cinque Ports, well, actually, I think it's two. Number one is that the name comes from a kind of an ancient medieval term that was used for several cities along the coast that were granted trading rights by the crown. They were known as the Cinque Ports, and that's where the club got its name. But the other is that Deal was supposed to host the Open two more times. It was scheduled in 1938 and 1949. And both times, storm comes through or what have you and caused some pretty extensive flooding of the course, and they had to move it up the street to Royal St. George's. And sadly, it kind of spelled the end of their time as a member of the Open Rota. But outstanding course, still serves as a qualifying venue for the Open when it comes nearby. And then last but not least is Rye Golf Club, which is a bit further afield from these other three, but it's one that's sometimes played when they're in the area. Harry Colt designed the course. He was also the club secretary. But Rye is perhaps best known as hosting the President's Putter every January. Can't imagine playing links golf in January in Southern England, but they do it. The Oxford and Cambridge Golfing Society has played it for, you know, over a century, and it's one of the cool traditions in golf. But Connor, this region kind of presents, I don't want to say some challenges, but there's some things that you've definitely got to keep in mind when planning to this area. It's not like some of the others where you can just kind of say, I'm going this window of dates and this is it, because there's some stuff to work around, and that's where your expertise comes into play. Walk us through planning, what needs to be known, I should say, for planning a trip to this region.
Oh yeah, you're definitely right. And I wouldn't say it's challenges, just things we need to work around. And, you know, I would say it's one of the more complex areas to book. You know, a lot of groups that go down into the area, they go down there first. They, you know, usually land into London Heathrow, go down, play the golf down in the area, usually Prince's, Cinque Ports, Royal St. George's, potentially Rye, and then they'll come back up to the Surrey area and play golf there. So there's different visitor times, and just putting a trip together is a lot more complex comparatively to even Southwest Ireland or the Highlands of Scotland or what have you. So it's a little bit more complex, and again, why a lot of groups turn to us to kind of book this type of a trip. And the kind of the reason why of this is there's a lot of society bookings. So specifically more Surrey, but sometimes the other areas is they'll have some companies or what have you from London will actually essentially buy out the course for the day for a lot of visitor time. So this happens more frequently than you'd think, and it's just more challenging to kind of book things. But again, why kind of our groups turn to us to help with this. The other kind of funny thing and unique thing is the caddy program. So each course doesn't have one. They actually share kind of the same caddies for all three courses: Prince's, Royal Cinque Ports, as well as Royal St. George's. So a lot of times, if you do book caddies far and out in advance and request them, you'll actually have more than likely the same caddy or same caddies, if you will, for all three of your rounds down the area. So if you've been to Bandon Dunes before, usually you've got the same, you know, caddy, John Smith, if you will, for all four, five, six rounds of your golf at Bandon. So it's kind of the same kind of deal there, as you more than likely will have the same ones. But kind of more the planning perspective, starting with Prince's, the best one, the easier one I would say to book is Prince's, due to the fact that it is open 7 days a week, which is very nice. So you can play it on the weekends. So if you are arriving, say, on a Saturday and want to play a rival day golf, or maybe your first round of golf is on a, like I said, on a weekend, you can play it. There is 27 holes on property, as DJ mentioned. So you've got the shore, dunes, and Himalayas courses, which is great, but usually if you are playing an 18-hole round of golf, it's usually the shore and dunes that you play for your 18 round. And the Himalayas, you can also play. So it'd be great, maybe a 27-hole day if you're staying on property, or an emergency nine, or what have you. So you could play that as well, which is nice. A lot of groups may want to play kind of a rival day golf and just get nine in, which is great. As EJ also mentioned, they have a lodge on property. I stayed there last fall, and again, very minimal driving time, which is really nice. And then next up is Royal Cinque Ports. This is kind of where it starts to get a little bit more complicated, if you will. And it really also depends on kind of your group size of what you book. But traditionally, Mondays and Thursdays are four ball days, and Tuesdays and Wednesdays is two ball days or for foursomes. So if, you know, sometimes we'll look in groups and say, if they start with two golfers and they move to four, literally the whole trip could move around just comparatively to that for the days. So it's just one of those big factors there. And then next up is Royal St. George's. It is open for Mondays and Thursdays, which is a two ball day, and Tuesdays is four ball days. And then Rye is a little intriguing. So it is at secretary discretion of being able to play. You know, it's kind of one of those things, you kind of mention how many days you're kind of in the area or what days you could potentially play, and they'll let you know. So sometimes you could get on a weekends, you just not really know. So you just got to email and inquire within and see what happens. Foursomes is usually what happens at the club. Again, that's what we call alternate shot here. Sometimes if you are, you know, maybe a twosome or what have you, you can play two balls. So regular round of golf. But usually this is after lunch. And again, it's at complete secretary discretion and or what have you have to play by. So that's kind of the golf down in the area. And usually, like I said, in the kind of beginning, groups will want to go down to this area and then come back to London and play in the Surrey area. Sunday through Tuesday usually. So again, Princes, you can play in the weekend, depending on where you can play, what have you. Usually golf Monday and Tuesday, and then back up to Surrey for golf Wednesday through Friday, what have you. So for a week-long trip, you're usually starting off in that area, and that's usually the best routing and what helps for groups. It's kind of the best routing, but it can all change comparatively to what's available.
It sounds like a big giant jigsaw puzzle, really. I mean, navigating, whether it's, like you said, the society days that take over the course, but also, this course has foursomes only on this day, but you can play your own ball on that day. But by the way, it's only afternoon on this day. Like, that just sounds, there's a lot to keep track of. And then you definitely, like you said, that's where having an expert in the back pocket pays dividends. Another area where that applies, obviously, is the good life. And to cover some of the things that you and I have experienced during our trips to this region, as well as others within the company, lodging wise, back on our episode about our new discoveries, I don't know that I've ever heard you as excited to talk about a place as you were to talk about the Pig at Bridge Place. But it sounded like you had just an incredible stay, awesome accommodations, not far from these courses. So just an awesome place to call home base for a few days. The lodge at Prince's, I mentioned earlier, comfortable accommodations right there at the course. They've got a restaurant, of course, on site as well. If you're looking to be just bang right there in the middle of the golf, Prince's is certainly a good place to do it. And then the Bell Hotel is another one in Sandwich that's a common stop for some of our members as well. Restaurant wise, the one downside to being in an area, typically on a Sunday through Tuesday, is that that's often when many restaurants are closed. There's a lot of exceptions to it. That's, again, where our concierge will come into play. Of course, generally your hotels and so forth are going to have, restaurants available. Again, I heard you had an awesome meal at the Pig. But then nearby to this area is Dover. You think of the White Cliffs, pretty great walk, but what's funny about the cliffs, when I was there, that what kind of struck me is that it's one of those things that is better looked at from somewhere else. Meaning, like, walking on the cliffs, you can kind of see the cliffs, but you don't get anywhere near the wow factor that you would get from some kind of boat tour or something that goes along, out into the channel. So look up one of those if you're headed to the region. That would be my suggestion. The castle in Dover is awesome. The tunnels that they used to use during the war and so forth are really neat, and it's a cool story. Nearby is Canterbury. I thoroughly enjoyed my walk around Canterbury. And we've got a 1400-year-old cathedral. That King's Mile area right there by the cathedral is kind of the heart of town, and it's where most tourists are going to go walk around. Certainly worth your time. And then if you're really looking to kind of get different, if you will, you could take a day trip over to Calais, France, and say that you checked off two countries in one trip, I guess, if that's your thing. But, this is an area that for tourists, it's, you're going to be hard pressed to fill a week. Luckily, you're really only in this area for just a handful of days. And then you're moving back to Surrey, where there are other things to see. But, for the few days that you're there, there's plenty to see and do off the course. But Connor, shifting back to the golf side of things, you played, if I recall correctly, you played Royal St. George's and Royal Cinque Ports. What were some of your favorite holes from the experience?
Yeah, it's tough to put them favorite holes or just one from each, because they're all really spectacular. But kind of start off at Cinque Ports, the third hole, which is a par five. I love this hole. One of my favorite holes overseas. It's fairly a straight par five. The ocean's directly to your right. Can't see actually most of the ocean at Cinque Ports. Kind of the holes play down, and you can kind of hear it from off in the distance, which is great. But again, this the third hole is fairly straight, but it's a lot of rolling fairways that goes up to the green. But I laid up my second shot in the fairway, And it's kind of a blind shot. You can kind of see the top of the flag. And once I had no clue, I'm just out by myself and had a yardage book and then walk up to the green. And essentially it's a punch bowl green. So you can have some fun with it. So I finish out the hole and literally I just grabbed like a 7 iron and probably hit 10 to 12 bump and runs just to play around with it, put around the slopes. It was just so much fun. It was awesome. The front nine there is just is spectacular. Some other really good holes. And then at St. George's, very difficult to kind of say my favorite too, but I would say the fifth hole, it's a par four, really, really popular hole, and it's super difficult. You can hit driver, you really don't need it. I think I hit like a 3 wood off the tee, and you go kind of straight out, you tee off above the hole. It's pretty kind of high up where the teeing ground is comparatively to the fairway. And then once you get out into the fairway, the green kind of jets directly to the left. And if you don't hit it far enough, you got a blind shot. But if you do hit it far enough, you usually have an uneven lie. So it's just very, very fun. And it's after playing both courses, but more specifically St. George's, you just have to be very specific with where you tee it, where you leave your ball, and kind of where you leave your second shot. But both courses are fantastic.
When you've got a course where so many of them are so memorable, it's definitely hard to pick one. One quick St. George's story and one quick Prince's story. Our founder and chairman, Sam Baker, tells a story where St. George's, the links there, I don't want to say it's flat, but it's more of a rolling, terrain, but it lacks like some of the big, huge dunes and landmarks and so forth that you might sometimes use for a line, say off the tee. And he said that St. George's was the first place where a caddy ever gave him a line using a cloud in the distance. Like, hey, you see that cloud that looks like Mickey Mouse, aim at that. And then that was how he got his line. The other story from Prince's is, you mentioned earlier that the shore and the dunes is typically what most will play on an 18 hole. Well, I also played the Himalayas, and talking about favorite holes, for me, it has to be the fifth on the Himalayas nine there. I was playing by myself. It's a very short par three. It's a new hole. Mackenzie Neil Ebert built it here within the last several years. There's a big blowout bunker that kind of leads up to it. And then the green has this like hill feature on the front left of the green. And the pin was set kind of right behind that hill. And I hit a wedge that landed right on top and it took the hill perfectly. And it's the closest I have ever come to a hole in one. Still never had one. And it was only about 2 inches tops from the hole. And it was so good of a moment that they had these little sketches of the hole that I brought one home and framed it and put it in my bathroom because I wanted to remember that wedge. But Connor, a lot of great golf here on the Channel Coast, and hopefully a place that more will start to visit, here in the future. Before we wrap it up, any final thoughts from this area?
No, I don't think so. Like I said, it's one of those areas where not a lot of our groups will kind of think of going for their first time, obviously, but it's one that I think everyone, like I said, should have on their list and go. The golf is spectacular, and to pair it with the golf also in Surrey is great. I've actually got a group next year that's kind of doing a one-off trip down to the area and is going to play a couple of the courses twice, which is great. So definitely go to it, have it on your list. You'll enjoy it.
No doubt about it. Well, as usual, we will link to everything that we've talked about today in the show notes. If you've got any questions, DM us on social media or send us an email, golf@haversham.com. But otherwise, thanks for tuning in. We will be back again soon with another episode. But until then, we wish you plenty of golf at its finest and life at its best.